Eastern Waters about to join me. We've had Gold Coast coach Stuart Dew, who spoke about the tight loss on the weekend and what the team is learning from those. He reached out to Jared Ruffhead at the end of last year to see if he wanted to come to the Suns, but Ruffhead was happy to take his chances at the Hawks with his eyes wide open as to how it was going to unfold. That'll be up on the podcast shortly. If you missed it in the morning wrap, we'll revisit a little bit of that. We've got a stack of your calls, which we'll work through as well. Travis is in Greensboro. Hello, Travis.
How you going there, Jared?
I'm good.
I'm just ringing in regards to a couple of your thoughts. I watched some of your show last night also with the Fife, the Ablett, and also the Rampy. I think the AFL look like a bit of a joke at the moment in regards to, you know, would you have called a free kick if a bloke behind play, the other side of Myers there, was in a headlock? Would that be a free kick down the ground?
What do you say? Let him go. Let him go.
You just say let him go, or would you pay a free kick down in the goal square?
It's an open question, Travis. Umpire ran and said down. Open to interpretation. Good on you, Travis. So I was thinking David in Yarraville before Eastern Wood. Hello, David.
Hi, Jared. How are you going, mate?
Good.
I'm a first-time caller to your program. Well,
welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. You invited a call from a listener who might recall the most recent previous controversial kick after the siren.
Yes.
I recall Simon Beasley playing with Footscray at the time, 35 metres outside and 45-degree angles, kick after the siren to win the match, playing Brisbane. I think they were known as the Brisbane Bears at that time.
Yep.
He was surrounded by nearly the whole Brisbane side, either side of him. Players were jumping on top of each other's shoulders on the mark. The crowd also ran out onto the ground. Needless to say, he missed the shot, and I believe significant rules were introduced or at least clarified after that.
God, imagine the talk back on Monday here if the station had been around when all of that happened, David. Yes, it's the changing of rules to react to certain circumstances. It is being pointed out that there was David Parkin who was implementing the rugby style players on shoulders. Tim in Mansfield, a couple of others sent that through as well, and it was Matty Lappin who ended up on somebody's shoulders, and that was outlawed as a result. More of your calls as we go. 1300 736 736. Eastern Wood, the Bulldogs captain, though, is with me. Eastern, welcome to SEN.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
Ever found yourself up the goalpost?
Certainly not, mate. But you obviously think about, you know, different ways you can try and get a bit of an edge, so not surprised to see it attempted.
Did you know it was the rule?
No, I didn't. So I'm glad I never tried it before myself.
Very good. Hey, in the teams that it's been hard to peg and with form fluctuating, yours has been one of them. So now 4-4, 2 wins, 4 losses, 2 wins, and looking like you're in really good form. What have you made of the past 2 weeks?
The past 2 weeks have been able to really execute what we've been working on. Obviously, we had some struggles in the weeks prior to that, but a real hallmark of playing our best footy is a really even contribution across the board, and we've had some great contributions from all of our players, particularly in the last 2 previous weeks that have led to us get us in wins. And we've had some great stuff around the ball. I think we've connected well in terms of our hands around contests and being able to exit that pressure and then get the ball into our forward line. So yeah, we're still looking to improve on that and hopefully keep it going forward.
Was there a sort of a point where Luke Beveridge set out to identify what the struggles were and really lay them bare in that 4 week stretch?
Yeah, he challenged us around just our consistency of being able to play a game out. Particularly in the Fremantle game, we were when we were over there, we were right in the game. They're even ahead, I think, towards the end of the third quarter. And we just fell away towards the end of the last quarter. And credit to Fremantle, they really lifted their intensity and ran away with the game. But, Bevo challenged us on our approach, moment to moment, and being able to play that game out the whole way. So that's something that's improved as well, being able to get that consistent effort across the 4 quarters.
It feels like he's the source of considerable mystery to us on the outside. Does his demeanour change much from week to week in the formative stages of this year?
No, he's really great with having that consistent demeanour. Obviously, he's incredibly tactical in the way that he thinks about the game. So, you know, we might change little bits and pieces from game to game to try and get that edge. I think that's probably the mystery and partly what you're talking about. But no, certainly his demeanour doesn't change, which is a wonderful thing about his coaching.
Does
no matter if we're dominating or if we're behind, it's that same approach.
Do you find yourself wondering some weeks, oh, I wonder what his approach is going to be here as we prepare for this game?
No, not necessarily. You know, the changes that he makes are minor, so it's not a huge quantum shift. Obviously, those, if they were incredibly large shifts, it can be a challenge for players to adjust to. So obviously, he's hyper aware of that and doesn't want to make, you know, big changes for us. So, and he's always been a believer, and he focuses on what we want to do rather than react to the opposition. So, yeah, we always go in with what our approach is, and there's minor shifts each week. But, you know, all in all, it's generally, you know, quite similar, which makes it easier as a player to know, to be clear and be able to focus on what you're doing in the game.
How significant was it to be able to alter the flow in that second quarter on Saturday? So we were calling that the Lions had made a great start. They looked like they were controlling the shape and the movement of the game, and you arrested that in the back half of the second quarter. Was that significant out on the ground?
Yeah, that was, you could really feel that, particularly out on the ground. And I think once we shifted that momentum, it really changed. We had it for the rest of the game. And for me, being out there, it was probably our ability to just to start surging the ball a bit more, kicking it off the ground or knocking it forwards. Because the ball, because it was quite damp and slippery, you know, we'd try and possess the ball and maybe overpossess the ball at times and try and handball it or have a fumble. And next thing you know, you've invited their pressure and the ball pops out into space and they kick it forward. Whereas halfway through that second quarter, we made a better adjustment and were able to, I suppose, at least get the ball out of that dangerous area and put their defence under pressure. And the game really changed after that.
Is that an adjustment that the players are able to make themselves? Does it come from the leadership or does it come from the coach by instruction?
It came from instruction from Bevo at quarter time, but obviously it took us a little while to adjust. So, we were able to do that. And, you know, that's through a number of players just being able to understand and do it in the moment. And we were lucky enough that, you know, we made that adjustment and then, you know, it became a trend and we were all on the same page.
Aaron Norton's week was fascinating. So grabbed all the headlines, all the high praise, couldn't get a touch early, but toils away and becomes one of the most influential players as the game goes on. What does that tell you about him?
I just love that no matter what is going on, that he's going to continue to, you know, to apply himself. And the hardest thing to do is, you know, when you're having a tough day or you've been starved of opportunity or, you know, been starved of having a ball in your hands, is to just to stay the course, to have the trust that, you know, as you keep doing what you're doing and not lose faith, and, as you know, not lose any of your intensity or your edge during the game. So to see someone at his age, you know, really in the infancy of playing as a forward, he's only played the 7 or 8 games. So it's just great to know that no matter what, no matter what position the game's in, he's going to continue to give everything that he's got.
When he was prepping
and remain a threat for the game.
When he was prepping to be a forward across the off season, did you play a little bit on him?
Well, he spent most of his time in the off-season in defence.
Okay.
So I was playing next to him and, you know, he was catching everything in our pre-season. It was quite alarming how often he would actually catch the ball. And so it was no surprise to see now that he's gone forward that, you know, his sticky mitts are translating quite nicely.
So did you think he would be a forward?
Well, he played so well as a defender that you just assumed that was going to be, you know, what was going to, you know, going to be his position. But obviously, you know, Bevo and the coaches saw, you know, his incredible trait of being able to launch and hit the ball at the highest point and, you know, that real competitive edge to his game. Obviously, are really great qualities as a forward. So it's just been great that he's, you know, had some early impact up there and his confidence continues to grow as a result.
It's not the easiest thing to do, is it? I mean, you were being fitted up the previous preseason, weren't you, to see if you could swing forward. It's not the most automatic thing to switch from a defender to a forward, is it?
No, it's not. So obviously I went there and clocked it. So I've gone back to being a back. But no, it is difficult. I think I always kind of found out with just probably my size. When you've got the bigger boys trying to scrap you, and obviously my jumping is my, I guess, my best trait. So they're able to stop me a little bit. And it really, we didn't get to try the experiment out too much. I think it only lasted the first half of our first round of that season. So I guess we'll never know, but I'm quite happy sitting back in the back line, mate.
You didn't think, oh, you could give me a little bit longer, could you?
I was quite happy to be going back in the end.
Easton Wood, the Bulldogs captain, with us on SEN. So do you have a handle on who you are, what the team can be yet this season?
Yeah, look, I do. I still think we can do a lot better in terms of reaching our ceiling. And I think that's what's been exciting for me and for the rest of the team over the last 2 weeks to see what we're capable of when we put that consistent effort together that Bevo's been challenging us on. When we put that together for four quarters, we feel like we can beat anyone. So in terms of how that translates towards the latter end of the season, I'm not sure, but we've got a great challenge this weekend, you know, down at Geelong, playing Geelong, who are playing some fantastic football. I can't wait to get down there and see how the game goes.
How have your experiences in recent times been down there? Do you take any sort that's been a hard ground to win at? It's been a hard ground to score at.
It is a bit of a fortress for Geelong down there. And in terms of, it is probably a harder ground to score at because it's a bit narrower than another ground, so there's a bit more congestion. And, with the era of the zones, it has been hard to pick through with that smaller space. But, as I said, just looking forward to getting down there and giving it a red hot crack.
Last time you won down there was 2003, but there's been a couple of really competitive performances along the way. So you talk about the zones. So the 6-6-6, what's the reality been like for a defender? We've had a lot of discussion with midfielders and some forwards. How have you noticed the adjustment as a defender?
Well, initially there's a little bit more space because because it's really only the five, because there's one down in the goal square. And what we're seeing so far is most of the forwards like to be up closer to the 50-metre arc. And I think with the other flip side of it, with not being able to be on the back of the square, we're seeing if the midfielders get a clean break out of the centre square, there's a lot of grass for them to run into. So if we lose the centre square bounce hit out and it goes straight to one of them and they come in clean straight at us, that's very difficult to, it's even harder to stop than it has been previously. So it has been a change, but I think it's been a good change. Certainly more like when the game's right on the line, it's great that, there's more of a chance and more of an open game. As we saw with Melbourne and Gold Coast on the weekend, if that had been last year, you would have probably seen, nine or 10 players down in the 50 for that centre bounce. So, I think it's been a good change.
Are you in more one-on-one contests this year than you were last?
I've been playing a bit deeper just as a result of the structure of our team. So I've been in more one-on-ones as a result of that. So I'm not really entirely sure whether it's just a symptom of that or just because of the 666. So I can't really give you an answer there.
And Dom Pike made the observation on the weekend about that they'd found it hard to get the run off halfback because they're not able to put the spare there that they had. How have you noticed being able to fly off halfback this year?
Well, I guess it has been, a bit of a shift there, but I've still been able to see our high halfbacks really have that damaging impact in the game. Caleb Daniel, Jason Johannesson and Matt Suckling, when he's been down there, and a few of our other boys, Hayden Crozier, they've still been able to, really run and drive off that halfback line and really accumulate. Probably the game on the weekend in Ballarat was the first game our high backs haven't had a dominant game in terms of disposal numbers.
Yep.
I think that was more a condition thing rather than the actual structure of the game. So I probably haven't seen it impact us in that regard as much.
And the form of the midfield. So you've got tremendous depth. There's in trying to put the Bulldogs together, and there were questions around structure, but that the midfield always made sense. So Dunkley, Hunter, McRae, Bontempelli, Liberatore, was the drivers of it all on the weekend. And Wallace. So how significant a strength can that be, do you think?
I think it's our main strength. Our boys in there, the way they're able to... They've played a lot of footy together now. And they're getting some really consistent performances. And we started to, that was what turned our season around at the end of last year when we were able to win three out of the last four. And it was our midfield, that engine that really got us going. And I think what's probably underrated about them at the moment is probably flying a bit under the radar is their ability to make it make the clearances if the opposition does win them, you know, making them dirty or high balls and not giving opposition clean looks straight at their forward line. You know, as defenders, we rely hugely on their pressure in there, and they've been able to, you know, either win it or at least force a scrappy one out of there most of the time. And that's been, you know, a hallmark of our best games.
Easton, great to have a chat. Good luck down the highway. And, yeah, from 4-4, they're a really interesting few weeks for you.
It is. Thanks a lot.
Good on you. Easton Wood is the captain of the Western Bulldogs. They've tipped over 40,000 members. You can belong to the West in 2019. Visit membership.westernbulldogs.com.au to sign up. As there was a bit of disgruntlement around some in the Bulldogs camps a few weeks ago when we were taking your calls. I wonder if the optimism is returning. The Giants, did they lose a bit of luster? The Bombers, it's separate to the post issue. Did they prove that they're just not good enough? We'll look into all of that as we go. Before the break, Steve's in Sydney, been hanging on. Hello, Steve.
Jared, how are you?
I'm well.
That's good. I just wanted to have a chat with you about the Rampy free kick.
Go.
Okay. You keep saying that it's a free kick, but it's not actually a free kick. You can climb a post. There's nothing that says you can't climb a post. Is that correct?
No, it is agreed by the AFL that by the strict letter of the law, it's a free kick. Is he deliberately jumped on the post and the post was shaking. So that's a free kick.
What does the rule say?
I'll read it to you. You continue
on. Yeah, good idea. The rule says intentionally shaking a post.
Yeah. So he intentionally jumped on the post and shook it. Oh, come now, Steve.
Yeah, but he didn't intentionally shake it.
Of course, his actions caused the post to shake.
But that doesn't matter. You can bump the post. That causes it to shake. But that's not a free kick,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it is. That's the Dustin Fletcher. That's how this all started. Dustin Fletcher standing against the post, bumping it, so it was shaking. He got fined for that at the time.
Ah, can you run into it? You bump the post. The post will shake. It's just you keep saying climbing the post is a free kick, but it's not.
This is a free kick, Steve, in the black and white interpretation. That's not being disputed by headquarters. What headquarters is saying is they like the way that it was umpired.
But that's not what the rule says. You say black and white rules. Well, there it is in black and white, but you're bending the rule.
If you say so, Steve, but that's not right. It says a free kick shall be awarded against a player or official who intentionally shakes a goal or behind post either before or after a player has disposed of the football. Rampy's deliberate actions caused the post to shake. You can argue the semantics about this. This is a free kick every single time. He jumps onto the post and causes the post to shake before the player has kicked and indeed while the player has kicked. That's not the argument. 1300 736 736. Your call's next.